Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
So we're going to start off in Proverbs chapter 22 this morning. Verses 1 through 16 is where we're going to kind of begin. And look at this. I remember just different times in our life. We've always done pretty good with money. And it's not like we've had good times, and we've had times that it's a little bit, things financially a little bit tighter. I think when we lived in Springfield, that was probably the time when things were the most just difficult to get through. So I remember checking myself into the emergency room one day, left work, went to the emergency room because I was having chest pains, all right? Not a good thing, right? Okay, and you look online and you look at symptoms, that just makes it worse. Don't self-diagnose, just go to the doctor. Because it just magnifies, it makes it worse. So some of it was just the pressures of school. Going to school full time, working 30 to 40 hours a week, and then just the financial things. So, and it was, you know, it was just very much trying to just make ends meet. We weren't saving or anything. We just wanted to pay the bills, right, and get through that season. So it can be stressful during those times, and we don't want to live there very long. So I think there are principles, though, that we can put into place, godly principles that can really help us and save us from that. So let's just look at Proverbs chapter 22. Let's read that together, and then through verse 16 there, and then we're going to pray. Actually, let's just pray first, and then we'll go into that. Father, we just thank you for this day. We give you this moment, this time, dear God. We pray that you would take your word, that you would bless it. Open up our ears to hear what you are saying to your people, to your church. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Verse 1, a good name is more desirable than great riches. Think about that. A good name. In other words, you keep your word, you're respectable, you're a person of character. That is more important than riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is maker of them all. A prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. In the paths of the wicked lie thorns and snares, but he who guards his soul stays far from them. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. We're going to talk a little more about that next week, talking about the purpose-driven life. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. In other words, if you go into debt, you're in bondage to whoever loaned you the money, whether it's the bank, whether it's a loan shark. You're in debt, right? You're in bondage to them until your debt is paid. He who sows wickedness reaps trouble, and the rod of his fury will be destroyed. A generous man will himself be what? Will be blessed if you're generous. A lot of generous people that were in Scripture, Abraham, Job, you go through the list there. For he shares his food with the poor. Verse 10, drive out the mocker and outgo strife, quarrels and insults are ended. Verse 11, he who loves a pure heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king for his friend. Wow, that's cool. Verse 12, the eyes of the Lord keep watch over knowledge, and he frustrates the words of the unfaithful. A sluggard, you like that word, sluggard? That just has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? All right, what's a sluggard? Well, he's a person that doesn't like to work. Maybe has the ability to work, but he doesn't like to work. Says that there's a lion outside, and I'll be murdered in the streets. He's afraid to go out and work, right? He sees the worst in everything. Oh, if I go work, the worst is going to happen, right? Instead of just going out there and getting it done. The mouth of an adulteress is a deep pit. We talked about that last week. And who is under the Lord's wrath will fall into it. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him or her. He who opposes the poor to increase his own wealth, so in other words, greediness, and he who receives gifts from the rich both come to poverty. So those are just some random sayings in the Proverbs to do with money. The Bible has a lot to say about money. And so we want to just talk about how does finances affect the family. There's two things that cause a lot of tension and strife in a marriage, in the home, and in our lives. So in a marriage situation, it's one, communication skills. Okay, if you don't have good communication skills, that causes a lot of issues. Okay, number two is finances. One, two, boom. Financial things. Now, if you're single or a young adult, that can also cause you a lot of stress and a lot of pressure when the financial thing isn't in order, especially when you have more coming out, going out than coming in, right? That's stressful, right? Okay? You have $2,000 worth of bills and only $1,500 coming in. That's a problem, isn't it? That's a problem. You want to reverse that. And it can make our lives very stressful. That stress causes health issues. It causes us to be rude and ugly with other people. It causes a lot of different things. So, Gina read the scripture earlier from Matthew that a key principle in scripture is that we don't serve money or things. Okay, that's what non-believers do. They run after clothes, money, riches. They run after those things. God has not called us to live like the world, okay? So we don't serve money or things. Rather, we serve God. We seek Him and allow money and things to serve us to do God's will, okay? So when we give, we're able to do God's will, and it is serving us. We're fulfilling God's purpose and His will. And when we use it to provide for our needs, it is serving us. It's not us serving it. Does that make sense? You're not very positive on that. All right? We need money, right? Right? We need to buy food, clothing, pay the utility. We need it. So we want it to serve us, to serve our needs. But we don't want to get to the place where it has control over us, that it dominates our life. That's what we're getting at, okay? So money should be serving us. So there's a debt commercial. And it had to do with refinancing. I don't know if you caught that. I think it ran during the Super Bowl, but I saw it in the last couple of months. But, you know, the person says, you know what, wow, we just got this, couple comes out of the restaurant. They said, man, we just loved the meal, you know, it wasn't a great meal. And we're going to enjoy paying for it twice, right? Because they charged it, and they're putting it on a high credit card, right? And so they're going to pay for it twice, right? And then another guy's working on his Mac computer and says, wow, yeah, you know, it only cost me $1,300, but I'm going to pay $2,300 because the interest, right? And, you know, they're kind of making light of that and the debt problem. But that is the way younger generations are looking at debt. In fact, if you were to look at the numbers, how many have a home loan? Okay, if you actually figure out the numbers on there, if you have a 30-year mortgage, you're probably going to pay for your home at least twice. Okay? It's just an interest. You're going to pay that much interest over 30 years. When we switched to 15, we dropped like $15,000, $20,000 in interest that was dropped from the loan. Right? That's pretty incredible. You pay it off even quicker, you just save a lot of money. And so a lot of our money then goes towards interest. So it used to be that if you didn't have money, you did not buy it, right? If you went back 100 years, 80 years. If you didn't have money, you didn't buy it. You couldn't go to the bank and take a loan. You maybe could. Before the Great Depression, okay, in the 30s, dirty 30s, before the Great Depression, 2% of homes were purchased through debt, 2%. 40, 50 years later, only 2% of homes were purchased without debt. You see how the things flip-flopped? And even today, I was just watching just a little bit of the news, trying to catch a little bit of the weather, and it was talking about this young guy, you know, and they said, you know what, home improvement loan. And so they showed this back, nice yard, and a fire pit, and the rock, landscape rock, and, you know, home improvement, take out a loan so you can have this nice backyard. Sounds pretty nice. But see, what's happening is we want to live a lifestyle that we can't afford, and so we go into debt, whether it is for housing, whether it is God forbid, is for food, but sometimes clothing, for lodging, homes, and things like that. And so we're going into debt. All right? And so we just read that passage that talked about us, about that you're a servant to the lender. That's Proverbs 22:7. Proverbs 13:7, I'm mixing those up a little bit for you, Chris, there. Just keeping you on your toes, okay? All right? One man pretends to be rich, yet he has nothing. You know, and I see that in our culture today, especially the younger generations, and I'm not picking on you. I mean, the older, you've learned it a little bit from the older generations. But they want to live like they have everything, but actually it's the bank that owns it all. And we put on a facade that we have all this stuff when we really have nothing. If our credit was to be balanced and we were to pay off our debt, we really would have nothing. And the key is to live within our means. So, what are some biblical values and principles that we can implement into our lives that will help our families, that will glorify God, that will help us out? So, first of all, let's look at point number one that you can fill these in your program. Kat, you got your pen? You ready? You ready for this? Marcel, you're going to have to help her up. Christina's taking notes. All right, I'm just making sure you're engaged. First one is embrace the value of self-control. Embrace the value of self-control. Proverbs 25:28 says, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. So this can refer to a lot of different things. It can refer to your emotions, controlling your emotions. But it also could refer to just how you handle your finances, your buying habits. Now, visualize that, a city with no walls. So we don't build walls as much around our cities, right? But you go back into biblical times, often walls were there. Why were walls built? Protect. To keep the bad out. We talked about boundaries last week, right? To keep the bad out and keep the good in, right? So if you didn't have walls, you had no way to regulate what was going in and what was going out. All right? It'd be like a rancher, okay? Right? His cows could go in, go out. You would have no way of keeping track of them. Right? And sometimes people still come in and break in and steal, right? But the idea is to have a way that we can control what is going in and what is going out, that there's some control over that. And so that is what it talks about in our finances. If we have no self-control, it means we're not regulating what is coming in, but also what is, especially what's going out. So how do different generations, well, kids say, hey, you know what? I want it now, right? Right? They see something, boom, I want it now, right? They don't think about how much it costs. They just kind of tug on mom or dad's clothing and say, hey, I want it now, right? Ladies, I'm going to pick on everybody here, okay? Ladies, you kind of like to nickel and dime things, right? And you need your hair done. You need a matching belt to go with your outfit. Everything is on sale, right? Right? And so you buy, right? And it all adds up. Men don't tend to nickel and dime as much. They just go out, hey, guess what, honey? I just bought a boat. I bought a new pickup. I just bought 40 acres of land, right? And so men kind of just go, they just kill you all at once, right? All right? But the idea of self-control is that every dollar counts. Now, Dave Ramsey has an app, and you can actually sign up online. You go to his website, and he'll send you out a daily email. It says, I think it's every dollar. And it's kind of some cool emails that come out, just how you can save, some money-saving tips, how to save and do things like that. But really, to really look over, I think the important thing is just really look out the idea of self-control. What is coming in, and then what is going out? I mean, it's so easy. Man, you go to Starbucks or $4, right? Is that what's called, $4, right? It's $5 now? Is it $5? Just think about that. What else could you buy with $5 at the grocery store, you know? Milk, yeah, a couple gallons of milk. You could box of cereal. Yeah, cereal's getting up there too. But that can impact going out to eat for lunch at work. You know, you can't even hardly go to fast food now without it costing you $10, right? Now, we ate at Steak and Shake yesterday. I was pretty impressed. For under five bucks, I got a double cheeseburger with all the toppings and fries for under $5. That's pretty cool. That's pretty hard to do. And I passed on the $3 shake. I don't know what I was thinking of. I should have. Could have got all that for under six, I think, under seven. But there's ways that we can practice self-control, whether it's the coffee, whether it's the eating out. There's things that we can practice self-control to get things under control and live within our means. Do you need a brand new car when you could buy a used one? You know, you drive it off the lot, and they say it depreciates, what, 20% or something like that when you drive it off the lot? And so you might as well just get one that is 2 to 3 years old and save yourself a little bit of money. So we have that to figure out ourselves, just because our van is doing good, but you just don't know how long they're going to go, you know. So, you know, can you live without cable? You know, there's never been a better age just to live without cable, because now there's so many options out there. But those are some of the things that if you're not able to pay your bills, I mean, those are the things you need to sacrifice, folks, and practice self-control. And I get amazed that people say, I can't pay my bills, but yet they still have cable, they still have other things. And cut those things first, all right? Does that make sense? My wife is here. She was supposed to be back there, but she's here. But I think of my, I'm not going to tell a story on you, but her grandma came over as an immigrant from Germany. She was a German Jew, and she came across right before, it was during World War II with Hitler. So she escaped, came to the States. She lost family members in concentration camps, gas chambers, all that good stuff. She met her husband a couple days in. They married, started a life together, really didn't know each other, but they were in the same situation. But they, for a lot of their life, they just took menial jobs and were very frugal, and she got into a department store and did books. She was very good with numbers. But then even with her investments, she would hear her boss, right? He would do investments, and she would hear what he was doing, what he was investing in, and so she would utilize that knowledge. And she was able to retire comfortably because she started with nothing, but because she practiced self-control, she really did. She practiced self-control, and it served her well, all right? And I think what hurts us many times is in our culture, we want everything now. We want it, and we want it now. We're not willing to wait. That's one of the things we've tried to teach our kids is to, you know, if you want it, there's nothing wrong with wanting something new, but then save up for it. And then when you buy it, then it's kind of like it has a little more value to you. You appreciate it a little bit more. And then you might also say you get all that money saved and you go, wow, you know what? Maybe I don't want that thing as bad as I thought I did. I think I like having that money saved up, right? Because it helps you appreciate the value of what things are worth when you work for it and you save up. Okay, when you just put it on a credit card, you get a loan, we sometimes miss out on just how much something is going to cost, all right? So Dave Ramsey says, learn to say no for a little while, then you can say yes for the rest of your life. In other words, if you save up, then later on in life, you get debt-free, it allows you to say yes more, okay? If you live like no one else for a while, you can live like no one else later in life, all right? You develop self-control, it'll serve us, and it'll serve you the rest of your life. All right, self-control. Secondly, so embrace the value of self-control. The second one is to embrace the value of sacrifice. Closely related. But Jesus endured sacrifice, it says in Hebrews 12:2. He endured the cross. Why? Why would Jesus endure the cross? He had a choice. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Why was he willing to go to the cross? For the joy that was set before him. What was the joy set before him? Your salvation, my salvation, right? That relationship. He valued our relationship so much that would be restored, that sin would be removed, that he could be with us in that relationship. That was so valuable to God and to the Son, that Jesus endured the cross. And see, when we understand the why, then we're willing to sacrifice to obtain something better. Okay? And so Jesus was willing to go to the cross because he knew that it would achieve something better. It would achieve our salvation and it would heal our relationship with God. So sacrifice is giving up something we love for something that we love even more. All right? And so if you want the new car or if you want a new house or if you want a new piece of clothing, and it really is going to serve you well, if you make the sacrifice, you make sacrifice and say, you know what, I'm not going to go to Starbucks today. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to go out to eat for lunch this month. I'm going to put that money towards something that I'm saving for. Why? Because there's something else that you want more than that lunch. Does that make sense? And it allows you to save money to put towards that. So here's some examples. You can sacrifice. You can give up that cable, okay, to have a debt-free Christmas. Wow. Wouldn't that be cool to not go into debt for Christmas? Put it on your credit card. Stay in a smaller house, okay? You could maybe qualify. When we bought our house, we qualified for a loan that was kind of like, what? You know? They wanted to give us more than we were comfortable in paying every month, okay? And so we still had to find that range of what we thought we could afford and would fit into our budget, all right? And so, but what if you were willing to live in a smaller house, had a smaller payment, so maybe one of the parents gets to stay home with the kids, or that you could pay it off a lot sooner, and then you could upgrade, right? Sacrifice, right? Instead of having your own dorm room at college, maybe you split it, all right? Or maybe you're starting off in life and you want to rent a home. Maybe you go together with 2-3 other people to help divide that up. Craig Rochelle, he's at Life Church. He has a great story about how he did that. He got in on a good deal that somebody said, hey, I'll sell you this house. It was kind of run down. It wasn't much. But he bought that thing for not very much, and then he rented it out to people. And before he knew it, he wasn't paying anything then. He was making money, right? He paid it off, and then he sold the house, so he came out like a bandit, right? Because he was able to use his money wisely. He allowed it to serve him instead of serving it, all right? The average credit card balance, and I don't know how current this is, but the average credit card balance, anybody want to guess what the average credit card balance is? How much? 20,000? Well, about 15,000 is what I have, and that might be low. But you just think about that, and you're paying how much interest if you're carrying the balance over and over? 18? 18 to 20%? 19? 24%, some of them are now. That'll kill you, folks. That will kill you. Sacrifice. Maybe there's just a lot of things you can sacrifice. If you pay $217 per month, do you have this on the slide, Chris? Do you? Okay. If you pay $217.93 per month towards a loan of $14,517 at 18% interest, it'll take you 40 years to pay that off. 40 years to pay off $15,000, basically, at 18% interest. That's ridiculous, right? So, and over that 40 years, you're going to be paying $104,000 for $15,000. Isn't that ridiculous? But see, we do that on homes, we do that on credit cards, and it kills us. It kills us. If you were to invest that money at 12%, that $14,517, if you were to invest that at 12% over 40 years, guess how much you'd have? That's up there. $1,350,000. You could retire on that, right? Good? Yeah, I could. Yeah. And then if you were to invest that same amount and then put in the $217 extra a month over 40 years, then you'd have like $3.5 million. That's pretty cool, huh? Man, just think how much you could give if you had that. Yeah. Live off, take care of your needs and give the rest, the things you care about. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? But we can do that if we embrace the value of self-control and sacrifice. Lastly, embrace the value of planning. Planning. It says in Luke chapter 14, verse 28, suppose you want to build a tower. Wouldn't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? You would think you'd do that. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. You can't wander. You can wander into debt, but you can't wander out of it. All right? So when I was up in the Black Hills in December with my dad hunting elk, he didn't actually walk out into the trees much. That was my job, so because he was having knee issues. So hopefully that's being fixed. But we were walking into these pretty big area forests up there. It's easy to turn around. And if you get into a wooded area and you start walking, what's going to be the tendency? You're going to walk in circles, right? It's going to like, oh, I've been here before. But they have a new feature that if you have a smartphone, even if you don't have cellular service, you don't even need cell service, but if it has GPS in it, okay? These things are gathering more information than you'd ever want to know. It knows where you're going, what you're doing, really. But it has a GPS in there, so there's an app you can download. And so we were able just to track ourselves going through the woods, and we knew where we were going to go. And we had the map, we knew where we wanted to go, and it would help us to go through there. And it was kind of amazing. It's kind of like, wow, you know, it seems like we should be going this way, but according to the map, we have to go this way, and so we'd go that way. But if you don't know where you're going or know of how to measure that or track what you're doing, you're going to end up getting lost. You're going to be wandering because you don't know where you're going, right? And so when you talk about having a plan, there's two things that Dave Ramsey recommends. These are not found in Scripture per se, okay? But they make a lot of sense. And it'll take a lot of stress off of your marriage, off of your home, off of your finances. If you're single, it'll take a lot of stress. The first is to save up $1,000 for emergency plan. That's where you begin, $1,000 for emergency. If you don't have it, you should go out there and get it done. Sell the cat, sell the dog. I don't know. Don't sell the husband or wife, but...
What about a kid?
A kid? Put him on the auction block, maybe. $1,000 for emergencies. Why? Because things are going to break. You're going to have a car that breaks. You're going to have a repair at the house, or things happen, right? Maybe you have the family member sick, and you have to fly to go someplace, and you have to buy a plane ticket. Things happen. And if you have that $1,000 emergency in place, then when it happens, you're prepared for that. When we moved here, we invested most of our money into the down payment. We probably invested too much, took a little bit too much of our savings and put it in the down payment. We didn't have enough cushion there because the car broke down, and then it was kind of like, it was too stressful, right? And so you need to have that cushion there because things will break down, and you need to have that cushion. So then if you have it saved up and the thing breaks down, it's kind of like, oh, okay, I got the money there saved up. And it's not stressful. Wow, that's pretty cool, isn't it? You're saving and you're planning for it. Once you get that $1,000, then you can get 3 to 6 months savings built up. Now that seems like a lot of money, doesn't it? Kind of like, wow. But what happens if you were to lose your job or your business closes or you have to relocate and you're out of work for 3 to 6 months? Yeah. If you have that in place, then you're planning for the future. So, but begin, if you can just get that $1,000, if you're in college and in that, you need to have that. Do whatever you can. Get an extra job. $1,000 isn't bad. And you can figure out a way to get that money saved. All right? Number two is do the debt snowball. Okay, so Dave Ramsey's really big on this, the debt snowball. So if you have like, say we got five loans, okay, got school loans, got a car loan, house loan, credit card loan, what else? Loan to mom and dad, okay? Now, what you want to do is you want to start with the smallest one first, usually with the highest interest, but you start with the smallest one first. Why? Well, you get that paid off, make extra payments on that. You get that one paid off, and it's kind of like, okay, now you take what you were paying towards that loan, the extra payment and the amount you were paying. So say you were paying $50 on that loan, and you were paying another $50 on top of that. So you're paying $100 a month. Now you take that $100 a month and apply it to the next loan. So now you're paying that one, you're working on that one, and it begins to build momentum. You get that fourth one paid off, and it's kind of like, whoo, now I have all this extra money to put towards that third one, and you start gaining momentum. So it's like the snowball, and it helps you to knock out debt. Instead of paying maybe debt on 120 for 120 months, maybe you can get something paid off in 21 months and invest that. The debt snowball. The average car payment, they say, is $480. And I think that's probably still close, maybe up to $500 now, is the average car payment. So instead of going out there and taking a loan out and paying that amount, why don't you start a year or two in advance and paying yourself that amount, save that up. In a year, in 10 months, you have $5,000. You can kind of get a decent car for $5,000, enough to get you by, probably back to work. You save up for a couple of years, you're going to have enough to probably get a car in that $10,000 range. And usually you can get a pretty good car, used car, for the $10,000, right? And you did it all debt-free with money that you had. That's pretty cool, isn't it? But you have to, there again, it's that sacrifice, it's self-control, and it's having a plan. So there's some general rules here. Pray before you pay. If you're buying something under $100, pray for one day. So if you're buying a shirt, a pair of buckled jeans, I think some of those are under 100. Some of them are more. But pray for a day, okay? If it falls between $100 or $1,000, pray for a week, all right? If it's over $1,000, pray for a month. Now, you don't have to go exactly by that, but if you, too often we emotionally buy, right? Say, I need that. And it's good to sit on things and pray about things for a few days, because then it helps you to analyze and really say, was it just a moment thing, or did I really need this? All right? Is that good stuff? Is that helpful stuff? Some of you I know are doing this. Some of you, this is all new. That's okay. I'm going to have the musicians come. The key is that we do not serve money, we serve God. And money will serve us and will serve God as we practice self-control, sacrifice, and planning. And the nice thing about living debt-free, that's what Dave Ramsey really tries to get people towards, is debt-free. And I think there's a lot of scripture support for that, to be debt-free. I think about even just when we purchased a building for the church here, just the amount of the payment that goes towards interest, if that could go towards ministry, or doing other things to further what we're doing here, that'd be a pretty incredible thing, wouldn't it? Right? But we've become so used to that if we're going to buy a house, we take out a loan, right? If we're going to buy a new car, we're going to take out a loan. And it's become part of the American culture. We've lost the idea of just buying and living within our means. And so God's able to help us. I like Dave Ramsey. He has you have to kind of pursue debt and stuff like that, like a cheetah. So he actually has a video of it, and it's a cheetah running after this gazelle, poor gazelle. But you have to have cheetah-like intensity, he calls it. That if we have that intensity to really work hard and get things paid off, we can get it done. As we embrace these things. You know, the Bible speaks about all aspects of life. If we can embrace these values, it'll help out our families, our marriages, just our individual life, to be more balanced, to know God's peace, and above all, to be generous. As Gina said earlier, there's been times where it's kind of like, man, I really want to give more, but it's not always there. And I'll have my pity party with God. But if we can move to where our finances line up with Scripture, it's going to give us greater freedom to further His kingdom and be generous to other people, to His church, to ministries, because we've made sacrifice, we've used self-control, and now money's working for us, right? Because when you're in debt, you're paying interest, right? But if you've saved and you have money in the bank, who gets the interest? You do. You get the interest, right? Because you've invested it. You have money there and it's working for you, right? You're not paying the interest. Your money's paying you the interest because you're investing it. Could you stand this morning? We want to get debt free, but you know what? There's one debt you'll never be able to pay. You know what that is? You'll never be able to pay the debt of your sin. That's why Jesus went to the cross, to pay your debt that we could not pay. Amen. If you're here today and you haven't made that decision for Christ, that's the biggest debt you need to get taken care of, is just to know Him as your Lord and your Savior. And I'd like to lead us in a prayer, just to know Christ as your Lord and your Savior. I don't ever want to take that for granted. I was talking to a man this past week who, he was a good man, but I think he kind of liked to do a little partying. We met a very godly lady, and over time she won his heart. He goes, for a couple years, I faked the Christianity thing. Even 2 years into marriage, he goes, I faked it. I knew what she wanted, and he goes, I faked it. So I went to a crusade up in Omaha, Nebraska, and gave my life to Christ at a Lowell Lundstrom crusade. And Lowell is now with the Lord, but he was the president of my Bible college for a time and a season. But he went through the Midwest. He was just an evangelist. But it was at that event that he accepted Christ and made him his Lord and Savior. Maybe here today, and you've just never, maybe you've been to church here, but you've never made that decision to follow Christ as your Lord and your Savior. I'm just going to lead us in a prayer. I'm going to have those that are going to help out with prayer if you'd make your way forward. And I just want to lead us in that prayer this morning. Pray together, saying, Dear God, we thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sin, for my sin. Today, forgive me of my sin, and be my Lord and my Savior. Father, this morning we give you our heart and our life and our finances, Father. And Lord, I know that financial things can be very stressful within the home situation. And right now we live in a nation that is trillions of debt. We don't know how that's going to impact us individually. But I know that we have to live our lives in a way that is resembles your values, your virtues. It'll save us a lot of heartache and stress in the long run. So we pray that you would help us, dear God. Give us your wisdom and your guidance, we pray. And give you the thanks. Let's sing this chorus together. And it talks about just getting our hearts right with God. If you need prayer this morning, make your way forward and we'll pray for you. And let's sing this together. You know, money is just money. You can have a lot. I get a kick out of whether it's athletes or movie stars, and they get all this millions of dollars. And next thing you read in the paper that they're having debt problems. They just don't have the self-control, right? So it's not a matter about how much money you have. It's a lot of times it's about what are you doing with the money that you do have. And are you using it in a way that God instructs us? He gives us some directions that can help us live stress-free in a lot of ways. And so, you know, how are we using what God has blessed us with, and how are we using it to further His kingdom? Be a blessing to other people. That is the prayer. Father, this morning I just pray your blessing upon your people here today, Father. And Lord, I pray that you can help us to just embrace godly principles that can help us to live each and every day in a way that glorifies you, that we can know your peace and your strength, dear God. And often we live in times of stress or anxiety or fear because we've overextended ourselves. We've wanted things, we wanted it now, and we've got ourselves into maybe some debt and some other things, and then that causes us stress down the road. And Lord God, release us from those things. Help us to work hard to release us from the obligation to debt and those things, so that we can do your will, that we can live within the freedom and the peace that you desire for your people, dear God. We ask this in your precious, in your holy name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, God bless you today. At the welcome table is a sign-up sheet. Please indicate if you would be interested in taking that Dave Ramsey course. If we get enough people interested, I'd like to offer that. Also, next Sunday is what?
Family Feast,
annual vision meeting next Sunday. All right, spread the word and fellowship. God bless you.